Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Before the show, here is the shout out to our new sponsor, Fero Wine. Fero Wine has been the largest wine shop in Italy since 1920. They have generously supplied us with our new t-shirt. Would you like one? Just donate 50 euros and it's all yours. Plus, we'll throw in our new book, Jumbo Shrimp Guide to International Grape Varieties in Italy. For more info, go to italianwinepodcast.com and click donate. Or check out Italian Wine Podcast on Instagram.
So the Pio Cesare Italian Wine Podcast on the road edition. We are at the winery today with Federica, of course, the daughter of Pio Boffa. Her name is Federica Boffa. Federica, first of all, how old are you?
I am 23 years old.
Oh my goodness, you look like you're 15.
I was born in 1997, one of the very best vintages of the last 30 years.
Okay, that's good.
So I was very lucky.
That's a good introduction. Have you got siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Right. So, of course, with the passing of your father, it's a huge responsibility, right, now?
Yes, it's a huge responsibility, but at the same time, it's a great challenge. We are, and personally, I am very lucky because my father brought me to work when I was very, very young. I was 18 years old and I just finished high school. I was preparing for the test for my university.
What did you study?
I studied in high school. I did Liceo Classico, which is more humanistic studies. And then I did business administration in the University of Torino. When I was preparing my test for university, my father decided to bring me to a very important event in Verona, in a concert at Arena di Verona, where I had to present on my own the Pio Cesare Winery. So I was very scared, but at the end...
The arena?
Yes, every time... We are part of an organization called Grandi Marchi.
Oh, yes.
Every year, the Arena di Verona invite us to present our wines in a wine tasting before the concert in Arena di Verona. Mm-hmm. And that time, it was a time for Pio Cesare, and I went over there. It was my first time in the public.
And when was that?
It was in 2016.
Okay, so that was your first debut.
Yes.
Of actually representing the
Correct.
Winery.
But since I live on top of the winery, and the members of our family have always lived on top of the winery, I was used to participate in wine event or wine tasting or wine dinners because my father and my mother always brought me with them abroad and they're traveling, and we used to invite people for dinner at home. So I had the chance to learn English when I was very young, and also to learn the wine world a little bit.
And tell me a little bit about your mom also. Is she involved in the business?
My mother is not officially involved in the business, but in Italian we say dietro le quinte. She does a very important job because when my father was in life, she was always a step behind him, always trying to convince him that he was doing a good thing, then he was doing good. And above all, my mother is a very good cook. She cooks what we say not traditional Piemontese cuisine, but she cooks traditional dishes of Pio's house. It means that she likes to cook the plates, the dishes of our family. So she likes to cook, for example, risotto. She likes to cook, for example, fiori di zucchini. So very, very traditional home plates, home dishes. Not traditional Piemontese, mm-hmm. but dishes of our tradition, of Pio tradition.
And give me an example of what those dishes are.
They are, for example, risotto alla parmigiana, so risotto made with parmesan cheese, or another example is fiori di zucchina, which is flowers fried. Mm-hmm. Another example might be maltagliati, which is a kind of pasta with ragù sauce, and with Barolo is is very delicious.
So what are the how would you match which wines with the dishes, like the fiori di zucchina?
I would match the fiori di zucchina with our Pio di Lei Chardonnay, which is the Pio di Lei that we are producing since many, many years. Pio di Lei was born in 1985, and it was among the very first Chardonnay ever produced in Piedmont and in Italy in that period.
When was that?
1985. Pio di Lei was born in the Barbaresco region. So it was and still is today a Chardonnay coming from the village of Treiso, a tiny little village in the Barbaresco area. And then in the years, we have decided to change, to add a little bit the Chardonnay as well from the Barolo area, from the village of Monforte. So it's a very full body and with great structure Chardonnay, but it has some elegance as well. So I think that pairing it with Fior di Zucchina is a really good match.
Great. I'm getting hungry.
It's time now.
So, Federica, tell us a little bit about the new wines, you know, in light of the 140th anniversary. And of course, your dad unfortunately didn't get a chance to launch the wines. Is that correct?
Yes. We have prepared with him all our projects, but we didn't have the time to launch them with him. However, we have decided to continue our path and to continue our project because we are sure that he wanted like that.
Right.
So we have decided to change a little bit the label of our classic Barolo, of our traditional Barolo. My father always fought for the classic Barolo in the sense that he was very angry when somebody was referring to his Barolo as a normale or as a regular or as a basic Barolo, just because it doesn't have the indication of the vineyard on the label, because it is a blend. It's a blend of 7 vineyards from multiple villages of the Barolo area. So a few years ago, we have decided to write on the label a little phrase saying, please don't call it regular. Of course, it's a joke,
right,
but it really underlines our philosophy. Since 2017 vintage.
Let me show me one.
Yes.
Okay.
Since 2017 vintage, we have decided to take away the phrase, please don't call it regular, and to add another phrase, which is a sort of a development of the concept, writing Barolo Pio. So, please don't call it regular, now call it Barolo Pio.
Right.
It's a tribute to all the people, to all our fans that in the years have decided not to name this Barolo with regular or normale, but to call it with our family name, which is Pio, Barolo Pio. And we have done this as well on the Barbaresco label.
Right.
The second very important news for the 140th celebration is the launch of a new Barolo. It's a Barolo del Comune di Serralunga d'Alba. So it's a Barolo that is coming from 4 vineyards, all family owned, just in the village of Serralunga d'Alba. For us, Serralunga is really a very important village, an historical village for Pio Cesare. Because when we were buying grapes many years ago, my grandfather was relying on families who were supplying him with grapes coming from Serralunga. And Serralunga has always been the most important part of our classic Barolo. Then, of course, we had also other villages, but really Serralunga was the heart, the most important village. And in Serralunga, we have decided to start the project of acquiring vineyards in the Barolo area, in Serralunga. So Serralunga is really an historical village for us. That's why we have decided to dedicate the 140 years celebration to this village, producing 1,881 bottles of this wine.
Oh my goodness.
It's a nod to the founding year of Pio Cesare Winery, 1881.
Are they numbered?
They are all numbered bottles. We have produced 1,881 bottles and a few magnums. The magnums are not for sale. They are just for important celebration and important events, while the bottles are at the end of the month of June will be released. And so just 1,881 bottles for all the world. So a very special and limited release. The last, third and last news, it's the release of Barolo Riserva. Pio Cesare usually doesn't release old vintages. We are usually typically releasing the current vintage every year. For the 140 years anniversary, we have decided to do something else. We have decided to dedicate this Barolo to our grandmother. Our grandmother, who unfortunately passed away in November 2020, so 6 months ago, 7 months ago. She was the guardian angel of our family private cellar, our family private library, containing our old vintages. She always wear a little key on her neck as a necklace. That was the key of the private family cellar. So every time we had to bring a special bottle, a special old vintage bottle for a special dinner or a special event, we always had to ask her permission. Now that she has gone, we have decided to dedicate this Barolo Riserva to her and to start releasing every year. Rosy. And it is also my second name, Federica Rosy.
Right.
So we have decided to release every year from now a very small and limited amount of old vintages bottle, starting from Barolo Riserva 2000, which is a very important year, a very important vintage for the Barolo region. And also a special year because it describes a little bit the weather changing, because the vintages after 2000 have changed a lot because of the weather change.
You mean the climate change?
The climate change.
How significant has the climate change been in Barolo?
A lot, because we have warmer summer, but also warmer winters. We have no more snow, or we have little snow. We have less rain, so less water. And we are doing a harvest almost 1 month before than we used to do in the old days. But sometimes this weather change is not so negative, because it has helped us to produce Barolo and Barbaresco with less green tannins, with less astringency, with more elegance, with more balance, between the acid character and the fruit. So in some ways it has helped us to produce more approachable Barolo and at the same time to reduce the aging process of Barolo in oak.
Right.
My grandfather was aging the Barolo for 6 years in cask, many, many years ago.
What kind of oak is it?
French oak, big barrels. Nowadays we are aging the Barolo just for 3 years because weather has changed. We are employing new clones, smaller clones, which are producing grapes with smaller and are producing more approachable wines. So in some ways, weather change has helped us a little bit. On the other side, probably, I don't know, maybe in 7, 8, 10 years, we will probably have to plant Nebbiolo with a higher altitude.
Right.
To try to plant with a cooler climate. Nowadays, we are not allowed to plant Nebbiolo on a higher altitude, but I believe that we will have to adjust to the climate change and to the weather change.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.